for I'm often drunk, and I'm seldom sober. A constant roving from town to town, but I'm older now, and my sporting's over. So won't you come to lay me down? Just lay my head on the keg of brandy. It is my fancy, I do declare. For while I'm drinking, I'm often thinking of lovely Molly from the County Clare. This is why I told y'all you gotta come up with something better. I'm gonna just sit there and do it.
Keep going, that's
ladies and gentlemen, presenting the subgenius out of slack.
Funny?
Well, I don't mean funny exactly. It's kind of hard to explain.
I see.
Sometimes I'd feel real good, and then other times, I'd feel like I was going to get sick right in my stomach.
Well, it doesn't take much doing.
You all right, man?
Okay,
we're down here at Cafe Subgenie.
We're down on the floor of Cafe Subgenie Rave, because that's what happened next, man. It was a subgenius rave, and everybody had the glow sticks, and you would have seen them going out there in the field, doing the twist. It was really cool.
Yeah,
and Rocknar had a special power outlet next to his tent, which he used to
Rocknar
fill
like
his
he was the
giant air
bell mattress. Of the ball.
Nonetheless, was
so like it was rain. Running the whole time, trying to keep air in it. Well, it leaked faster than the thing could pump air into it. So Rocknar just ended up putting the spigot in this some orifice in his body.
We're not going to name names.
No.
He got what?
I'm just saying it wasn't
he get
on the funny.
Back this year?
No, he did not.
Speaking of objectionable, we had the best baptism ever.
I missed it.
We had no cameras allowed, and that's why it worked. We've insisted on no cameras the last couple of years because it drove the girls away, right?
Yeah. They know what guys are going to do with those
pictures.
I decided
that what was also driving the girls away was Dr. Legume, who always ran the baptisms. And so this time, and he wasn't really up for that this time, and Jesus wasn't there. So Dr. Howell and I did the baptizing.
You need
and
a,
the
you...
fact that Dr. the sex god, Dr. Howell, and myself were... And we had our clothes on, too. We had our holy robes and stuff. Everybody else was naked. Women jumped into that pool who have never been baptized before, including Princess Wee and the beautiful Barbara Alien. It was worth it to me. The whole X Day was worth it just to see those sights.
Yeah,
well,
you know
I've
who,
been
you
waiting
know,
years
you know, maybe,
in some cases to see those two ladies naked.
Maybe we need a John the Baptist, you know, an official... guy responsible for those duties.
No, I think I'm going to do it from now on. It's fun.
Yeah.
And
better than
push
Viagra.
The people's you. And plus, I personalized each one. I didn't say the same thing. I said special things. I was able to remember everybody's name, and Dr. Howe would catch him and keep him from drowning after I pushed him underwater. It was just a spectacular, spirit-filled thing. I kept my glasses on this time so I could appreciate of what I was doing. Well, there were a couple of subgeniuses that when we baptized them, they stayed down. And we know that they are the ones who are most beloved by Bob. They're with Bob now.
I was wondering.
What were you wondering?
I was wondering about if that Reverend Ivan Stane,
if his wife was left behind, I was wondering if I could have his wife.
In your dreams.
In your dreams. Pardon me if I sound a little distracted. I'm trying to finish operating on this old man's heart.
This morning was the high-stack flapjack pancake breakfast attended by a ravenous mob of slavering subs who reduced the stacks of dough to a memory, no longer even the twinkle in the eye of their creators. And later on in the day, an expedition into the nearby hamlet of Gobbler's Hollow produced a restaurant excursion, mostly memorable for its digestive convulsions, the inevitable result.
They're still going on. That was a meal. That meal had stick-to-itiveness. Stick to your ribs.
A stick to your ribs subgenius repast.
Now, Subgenius International Chili Cook-Off is coming up at 4 o'clock today.
That's right.
The cooks are the Iron Chefs and Velvet Chefs and so forth. They're all hard at work.
How long?
Opening cans, no doubt.
How long has it been since you wrapped your lips around a warm, steaming bowl of Wolf brand chili? Or, in this case, Subgenius brand chili?
Dr. Howell, how can you, a non-Texan, quote the Wolf brand chili ad?
Well, neighbor, that's too long. Because in Arizona, we also were bombarded with the same shell for Wolf brand chili.
When Thomas Hereford Wepford Pepperson said, "Give me guns or sandwiches," a true patriot, he never once stopped. I'm sorry, what did he stop? He never once stopped.
Until his unfortunate death in 1804, struck by lightning at the door of his Williamsburg farmhouse, after one more occasion than was necessary of exposing himself to the neighbors.
After his radical experiments with the hemp flowers, as he used to call him, and his love of Amish cheese, his cholesterol levels were so high he could... it's fallen now. He's fallen. Look, Jefferson is on his knees now. Wait.
But at least Hamilton still lives. Plop.
Now, as I recall, I think it was 1828 when we first established a precedent of how to deal with these so-called I'm not saying this right, Senator. What's the...
Well, that was Buford Alcibiades Dobbs down at the plantation, which was known as the Grange in those days.
He started the mess, didn't he? It was some sort of Masonic now.
Oh, they said he had magical powers.
Yeah, also had the magic powers in
the
his...
The magical fal-de-rol, that's what it was.
In his gree-gree bag. Now, I notice you're wearing one of those unattractive gree-gree bags on sale for $19.95 in the Congressional Commissary, but why? That's all I can ask. One of the sevens of...
Well, sir, after an intestinal operation, one has to wear a gree-gree bag, if that is what one is calling them these days. They will never make the heights of fashion, but they are essential for a gentleman in certain difficulties. You mind if I empty mine here?
Yes, the sandwich boy will take care of your vessel there. This Bob, J.R. Bob, I got the name right here. J.R. Bob Dobbs, has he ever entreated you into any sort of slap-happy games with this vesicle you're wearing now?
Oh, they're always up to their hijinks and shenanigans. They can't keep it down to a dull roar or confine it to the rumpus room. But before I go any further, Senator, I want to read a certain statement into the record. To a certain...
Go right ahead.
That I am not now... Nor have I ever been a member of the human race.
Well, it seems... Now, I'm looking at something here. It says something quite different, sir. It seems you have been a member of the human race and disavowed your genetic... Heritage. What's the damn word I'm looking for? Your inheritance right. Yes. And I'm wondering why. This whole congressional committee is wondering why.
Because, sir, as it says in the old book, as I will remind the honorable member,
I know
when one is in the court of the king, one is a king's man, as it were.
Well, this has not been a monarchy since Tuesday, Sennenhofer. Sir, I'm sorry, I was talking to myself.
Let the king do the will of the law and not his own will. For when the will rules and not the law, then there is no law and no king. Only the subgenius can perform under his own genius and enact his own will. Let what need be rendered unto Caesar be rendered unto Caesar with a thick, unintelligible magic marker.
Well, silence, silence. We get your drift, Mr. Monogram.
And ladies and gentlemen, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him, the Reverend Alex M. Thompson.
Yeah!
I never knew it was the M before, the Reverend Alex.
Friends! Dear, 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 dear friends, I have what may well be one of the shortest rants after long, long periods of conflicted mindsets. And what could I rant about? So many things, so many choices, so many decisions. What to be angry about this week? Oh, God, what's the latest catastrophe to bitch about? Friends, I have something very simple, very true to say to all of you. And that is that this church, the church of the subgenius, ladies and gentlemen, is now and ever shall be the greatest cult that has ever or will ever darken the face of this earth.
Are you through with your questions now?
Yes, sir.
Now let me tell you the story of one of England's greatest crickets.
C-H-E-L-O-E presents E! Man has shaved recorder McDermott's on the air.
His cricket kidney was smashed.
Man was pre-taped recorder McDermott's is a disaster.
His cricket children suddenly blew up.
Or restored by the state of shed.
His cricket car was so bad.
Your team of yours and call me a good thing with blood.
And this cricket was offered a Hollywood movie contract.
Brush it, move, fam.
Our special guest tonight is Fantastic Paul. But before we introduce Fantastic Paul in person, let's begin with Real One. This hot man is shaving one of the best third basemen in the National League. He is in Wonderland.
Dear Bill, I've got a skin on my face, but not anymore, though. I find skin like mine. Signed, me.
And that cricket was a girl.
Hey.
Strange, isn't it?
Now, I see there are some sample pancakes here. Are these simulacra or the real?
No, these are the real thing. These are examples of Reverend Ennie and Reverend V's wonderful pancake artistry.
They are beautiful specimens of their kind.
They look completely realistic.
They do. The top one looks something like the moon of Saturn, Iapetus, the surface with its many craters and fumaroles, and the scorched upper sands of the tormented moon.
Is that the one the robot landed on, and they got nice footage of the landing on the distant moon?
Yeah, that robot's up there now.
And you know the robots on Mars, the tiny human infants inside the two.
They've been doing real well.
Yeah, they're about ready to shift them into open air experiments. Their lungs have developed enough that they seem to be able to survive. Now, if those two infants can crawl from the respective Mars Explorer robots across Mars and meet each other and reproduce, it'd be like Blue Lagoon, only Red Lagoon.
Yes, it would be a little bit harsher.
And a new race of Martian humans can begin. It's so romantic. Of course, they'll probably just die.
Government programs are strange in the fact that sometimes they don't seem to be created by people who take the long view, and at other times they do. And one cannot ever be sure which of the two alternatives is the more terrifying.
Well, we know that we know from Dobbs' prophecy that there are two futures for the human race, if it survives at all. In the far distant future, if the conspiracy wins, humans will be heads, floating heads, with very well-developed hands and fingers, but that's about it. Heads with hands. If Bob
that was
wins,
what H.G. Wells predicted.
If Bob wins, however, the human race will finally end in not quite as large heads and great big hands and great big genitalia. It's a big difference between the conspiracy future and Bob's future. Nothing we need to worry about immediately. This is millions and millions of years in the distant future.
It's strange why they should choose to externalize the sex organ, but perhaps giving it more surface area was in itself an aesthetic statement of the race in those advanced times. Because the business all takes place in the brain, the largest and most concupiscent sex organ in the body.
As Zappa called it, your dirtiest organ.
Yes.
Let me tell you one thing. If you have a plan on going up, you gotta first go down. Young people are turning to drugs. It's because of the Federal Rehabilitation Center, or the welfare psychologist, or psychiatrist, where you've got so many troubled young people. And man's nature today, he'd run around with his fist stuck up, a knife in his hand, a gun in his belt, and a cuss word in his mouth, because he doesn't have guts enough to ask Bob to forgive him. Because he doesn't want to bow down. You know, you quit drinking, you quit smoking, you quit running around, you go to hell.
That last cut that was last by cut Reverend Brainerd. Now,
this pleasing sylvan scene, this light on the grass, the song of birds, the swallow twittering from the straw-built shed, all only the seeming of things. Yes, because Banjo Bob is one of those phantoms, not actually physically present, but one can intuit his presence, and then soon the ghostly imago of Banjo Bob begins to reform out of the black ether. And pretty soon, he stands before you, trombone in hand.
An alien parasitical twin hanging out of his zipper.
Yes, it's called heteropagy. And as it happens in this instance, it can happen in many others, as the fabric and foundation garment of reality itself rips and gives way, revealing the naked but unwholesome truth which lay beneath.
I love it when you talk about that foundation garment underlying reality.
Well,
it seems
all
so intimate.
Language is metaphorical, and if only we could unzip the zipper and snap the snaps which draw the veil of incomprehension over the true sights of the glories of the universe and the beauties of nature, we could progress, ideally, to those sunlit uplands where the sacred subgenius amusement arcade stands at the top of a green hill. There's where the punchline is found.
I don't fly anymore because of
this
that.
This is how getting to next day, 3.5 weeks later.
Singled out for special treatment by the airport Gestinkener Gestapo.
That's because you are...
You're a
subgenius.
Down with George Bush. Allah is great. Oh, did I say that? I mean.
No. It had everything to do with the fact that you show up on the screen as a kooky cult minister.
Woohoo! I'm ready to convert the world.
So there's just this joke.
This is J.R. Bob Dobbs, everybody.
In the joke column one, it says, check this guy out. So they just have fun with you as a joke through security.
Now, we always pull the subgenius out of the line, unless we're in those strange circumstances where we can't tell who the subgenius is. In that case, we simply detain the whole line. It's part of the Transportation Safety Administration. Well,
I completely quit traveling by air because of that kind
But the funny thing is, even though they made me flip down my, they didn't find the, which was right there where they,
did they stick their hands in his pants this time?
No, they didn't. But you never know whether they will or not.
I started to unzip my pants when they did it to me, and they said, no,
stop!
Sir, please,
that's enough.
And I said, no, you got me started. Now I'm going to show you the whole thing.
So, if you want to get on the helicopter, you are going to have to line up over there and...
Sir, please, put that back in your pants!
All right, now it's your turn, madam. Step forward, please. I'll just touch you with the special wand. Here.
Bend over.
Here.
A little bit farther.
And here.
Oh, sir, that's not my bag!
And it looks like you're carrying some contraband.
I'm going to have to search your inner cavities with my special flesh wand.
This man is even an accredited transportation safety engineer. He's a slummer.
He's a lecherous old man.
Meanwhile,
filled with sin and perversion.
Hours ago, and we're standing by the sideways of the highways. Yes,
at the byways.
Terrible. The byways of the sides of the highways are
so did you take that ride that you go inside Ivan Stang's mind?
Yes, I did, because I managed to fly from Boston to Cleveland in the nick of time to be picked up by Princess Lee and taken back to the Stang Mansion. Quaint, curious, crumbling remnants of an earlier time.
Yes, when we're doing the house
period.
And we're coming over the radio, we do feel your, I mean, we
and
feel your entire
house.
And as
we traveled down the street, as she turned the corner, right in front of the car, there was a strutting,
I thought we just caused her
wild
by the sheer magnitude of the show.
This turkey was running into traffic and causing cars to slam on their brakes. And she said that it was often seen wandering around the neighborhood, perhaps thought to be somebody's pet, or maybe even a remnant of the original wild turkeys that inhabited those woods as recently as 100 years ago.
That anyway, turkey was over 100 years?
Well,
old?
No one knows where that turkey came from, but it's constantly running out into traffic and causing cars to slam.
Well, I doubt with that behavior it'll live another 100 years.
I know. It's not a waddling fat farm turkey, it's a wild turkey.
This is a wild turkey who's
like
lost its ability to survive
just
in
like
the wild.
One on the liquor bottle.
It can't
then
look out for that train turkey.
Got to stately Stang.
He's standing on the tracks.
I
oh
galloped
my God,
down
I
the back stairs so I could start doing my laundry and there washing my shoes.
Please,
and
turkey.
And there's spider haunted
the
basement
now.
With the low ceiling scuttling with spiders. I quickly dumped my laundry
you
into
don't
the,
be on the, tracks with the
washing machine.
All right, our next question here. And if the questioner wants to be identified, you can raise your hand and say, hey, that's me.
Absolutely. You know, there's something else, Reverend Stang. If you ask Dr. Halshow back home, where I come from in San Francisco, has all sorts of peaks and valleys, nodules and lumps, and this is sort of bland, moving along in a linear fashion. One thing we do is we reward people who ask exceptionally good questions. I don't suppose we have any rewards we could give away. At home, we pour them a shot of Fernet. But here...
Oh, yeah, sure. Actually, there I have a big box of Hour of Slack duplicate CDs. These
are your
downloaded MP3s. These are the original CDs with a separate track for each brilliant cut of the Dr. Howell show or whatever show we've vampirized and parasitized.
The active result of this is that you actually walk away with something in your hand more than just having fal-de-ral in your head. So having a little bit of an offer of value, that adds a little bit of roughage. Well, how about that next question?
Okay, this next question would be, is it true, Dr. Howell, that evil clowns live in the woods?
It would be presumptuous of me to deny that there have never been evil clowns in these particular woods. You see, let me just be a little bit more explicit here. We are surrounded by the Hutterite and Amish people, And they have a strong tradition of solemnity about their religious observances, seriousness, and so it does become necessary from time to time for certain of those who wish to operate in a clandestine fashion, somewhat in the manner of werewolves, to sneak out from their communities and commit the solecism in the privacy of the rural bushes, which can never be committed in society. And so we may indeed, from time to time, have a number of grimacing clowns, but the only evil they do is the evil to the restrictive community from which they sprung. To us, they would be intensely amusing and provide relaxation and slack for all.
Friends, if you happen to hear the call of the evil clown in the woods, which is la 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 la.
Well, that sounds like Philo.
La, la. Well, I draw your own conclusions.
Stories? I've actually been holding back a lot of hate. I'm trying very hard.
Don't hold back your hate.
You know, there's this line you have between holding back hate. You know, you start brewing it and brewing it and brewing it. Because, you know, of all the stuff that Bob has taught me, he taught me hate best. It was this whole thing. I used to be one of these little... hate to admit it. It's a hippie. I was a dirty, patchouli-wearing, Grateful Dead following, fish listening hippie. I was all about peace and love and like friendly warm fuzzy feelings. You know what Bob showed me is that you have warm fuzzies, but the cold pricklies are a lot more fun. Bob showed me that sometimes when you're driving by somebody, it's really nice to just go, "You fucking cunt!" Bob showed me that hate is okay. And Bob has showed everybody that hate is okay, because after you come to your next day and Bob fucks you over, the hate starts to build, and it builds and builds and builds, and then you come next year. Bob fucks you over again, and the hate starts to build and build and build and build and build. It's all about the hate. You've got to embrace the hate. If you don't embrace the hate, then you are one of these smart monkeys, dumb monkeys, 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 monkeys. You end up becoming a robot of yourself. That hate is a freedom. That hate is love. How can you have one without the other? You have to have something on both ends. For every Bob, there's an anti-Bob. For every Connie, there's an anti-Connie. And you know what? Connie is the anti-Bob. I've got to share with you this. Connie is a gold digger. And she made the biggest score ever. If you're a gold digger, who else do you want than the luckiest man alive? You can just run up the credit card bill. He's going to find the money. He doesn't care. No, no, she's not a prude, baby. Just because she hadn't come to your house yet. You must be doing something wrong. We've all met her. Her and her Liz Claiborne khaki pants, Mary Kay selling, blonde bleached hair, Gucci purse having, Prada shoe wearing, gold digging ass. We've all met her. You know what? You know why? Because that's the dark side of Connie, that side of Connie that tells you boys, well, you gotta give me something first. It's that side of Connie that comes up to you and says, well, yeah, sure, baby, I love you to death, but, you know, I need $50 to make you holler. See, Bob is about the money, too. We know this. Bob never... The difference is that Bob never lied to us about the money. There was never a lie. It was, give me your money, and I'll give you slack. If you don't give me your money, you're not getting anything. Connie lied to us about the money. She really did. She lied. You know, and I've gone for many years trying to kill Bob and saying fuck Bob, and then I realized, you know what, fuck Connie too. fuck Connie. Kill I Connie. Did. Kill Connie.
And then fuck her.
Kill Connie. Why? What makes Connie so much better that we can kill Bob but not Connie? Think of all the fun you can have killing Connie. Really. Exactly. I'm not prejudiced. I'm not racist. I'm not bigoted. I hate all you fucks equally. I don't like this dirt hole. I don't like the crap I have to deal with every day. I don't like arrogant assholes. I don't like drama. I don't like bullshit. And you know what? Sometimes it's not a fucking joke. It's not. And fuck Connie and fuck Bob. Keep going with it. Keep going with it. Because you know what? Just separate sides of a coin. Separate sides of a coin. It's all the same energy, man. It's just whether or not it has a dick or a cunt.
And that was Priestess Pisces with Noise by Two Beans.
And incidentally, there is a lottery. You can be a lucky wiener here at Subgenius Con 9. That's right. We're going to be giving away the Rancid Triceratops Medallion and many other things. In fact, we've got a swag auction coming up which will cause you to salivate with excitement when you see it. The treasures of time are nothing to this hoard. Croesus's millions and Scrooge McDuck's money bin cannot begin to encompass some of the riches in this pile of wealth. And that's after certain other so-called high-level subgeniuses have already illegally been through it, scrounging through it and pulling out the best of it. Even what remains is intensely desirable as a personal possession. But you know, folks, the Church of the Subgenius is just like the cruel outside world in offering you these tempting tchotchkes. Remember, they are only the symbols of slack and not the actuality. They will not provide the spiritual relief that Subgenius doctrine will, but only its pale shadow, its insubstantial simulacrum.
It is a little cheaper, though.
Oh, well, and it does provide immediate satisfaction. You know, let's not knock it. We're just doctrinally bound to say that there are far greater, more toothsome delights and within reach, you know, even than what we hand out in our philanthropic generosity and overall benevolence. What happened to this microphone?
That's fine.
Okay.
This microphone is a buttless microphone. You see.
Yes, I see. Well, that shows
because of that, it doesn't work.
Right. Well, were I buttless, I wouldn't work either. I'd want someone to take care of me all through my wasted and worthless life.
Pity the buttless, for one day you too might be among their number.
Or even the hemi-butlers, you know, the half-cheeked, they still have a hard row to hoe. With only one ischial tuberosity, sitting is always a problem. If you remember your Voltaire, this was the fate of the old lady who had one of her butt cheeks cut off in Candide. Do you remember that novel? The old lady with half an ass?
Yeah, sure.
She had seen her share of tribulations and troubles.
There's a half-butted lady in Candide? I knew about Candida.
This character is referred to in the book, I believe, as the old lady with one buttock. I don't think she has a name beyond that. I admit it's been some years since I read the book. Who knows? Maybe I'm making it all up. Something I remember. I don't have a copy here. But the point is,
did make it up yourself. Wishful thinking. Oh, if only I could have a half-butted woman.
I don't think that is very much on the front burner where I am, confidentially.
No, I was just guessing.
We're talking about our private suppositions, thoughts, and aspirations. So why wish for the half package when one can so easily conjure up the whole on the screen of the mind?
Yeah, the whole.
Let's
hear more
about
the whole.
The bright buttocks of joy and delight. And I suppose you know the story of the Athena of the full buttocks, which was related somewhere by some Greek, and the two sons of somebody or other. Now this one I really have difficulty remembering, but it seems that that a certain beauty in Arcadia compared her buttocks to those of the goddess Aphrodite, who was incensed by this. Oh, yes. And so she, I still forget her name, but was known as the Fair Buttocks, was turned into a stone on Mount Sipulus, which weeps tears still to this day. No, wait a minute. I think I take that back. That one's not right. Oh, well. At any rate, the Venus Calpigios was revered as the example of the most beautiful ass in the ancient world.
Thus, the complimentary term Calpigian for a well-assed person.
Yes, the Calpigian beauty.
My father likes to use that word. A young, like a friend of my niece would come into the house and say, "My, you're quite Calpigianus, aren't you?" And they'll giggle. And then he gets to explain what Calpigianus means.
And then do they still get
it? You know how those smart-ass know-it-alls are, don't you, Dr. Howe?
Yes, how annoying.
Those obfuscating, mendacious pedants.
If I wanted to hear about it, I'd look it up in the dictionary.
Yes, yes, yes.
But every subgenius has a little companion, the book of subgenius wisdom, which travels in a cloud about him. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that deliver him, and do their job.
You sure talk pretty, Dr. Hal.
By all means, provide some tranquilizers to ease the strain and monotony of
the Subgenius Hour of Slack.
A bottle of 100 should be adequate for a family of four. Tranquilizers are not a narcotic and are not habit-forming. Ask your doctor for his recommendation.
Bob. Now, what time is the American astronaut screening tonight?
That's not going to be at the drive-in. That will be shown probably on Monday. Is slack off day for me, which means I'll probably set up screens or something in the studio up at the top of the hill.
But no studio screening will take place tonight?
Not of American Astronaut. I believe tonight is Vincent Price night at the Bad Film Drive-In.
What have they got?
I don't know, but there's the signs
team
here and
there. Or something
the
like
Abominable
that.
Dr. Fibes, oh, mayhaps. Fibes. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I don't know what he has. But I'll show the American Astronaut. Friends, it's great. If you haven't seen it, I don't know exactly how to describe it. It's Bull Dada. Advertent Bull Dada, not inadvertent Bull Dada, which is what Dr. Dark specializes in. He specializes in surrealism that was meant to be suspense, comedy that was meant to be horror, and so forth. And the American Astronaut is funny when it's supposed to be. A lot of the time you're just going, God, this is like fucked up. This is one of the most fucked up things I ever saw. It's great. This is so fucked up.
So there you have it, the American Astronaut.
It's got some great special effects, and it's got music, actually. It's a musical. It's the first cowboy western musical set in outer space, and it was directed by the guy who was singing on the stage last night, Corey McAbee. Oh, God, the girls were throwing their panties up there at that guy, shrieking like 12-year-olds at a David Cassidy concert. These are married women with children. It's just, oh, God, like Monkees fans. I was like that.
Uh-oh. 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 Uh-oh.
There was a garden, and there was a tree, and there were three of me. I was a snake and a crow and a cat, and in the tree all three of me sat for eternity. And that was that. One night, an apple grew,
And the apple knew everything that I knew. It was part of me, and it was part of the tree that I climbed into and flew into and slithered to, and now I grew, and there I sat. As an apple and a snake and a crow and a cat. And that was pretty much that until one day a girl who was not me came out to play. And I could see what she wanted from me. She wanted to know what the apple knew. And I said, "You already do, my dear. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here." And she said, "Please, I've come to eat the apples from the trees." And I said, "No. I am an apple and a snake and a cat and a crow." And she said, "Please, I need to have that apple inside of me." She wanted to know everything I knew. And I said, "But my dear, you already do." Then she stamped her foot and said, "For heaven's sake, why can't you be a cat and a crow and a snake?" And I said, "No. Let the apple go." Then she took a bite. And I could tell that she knew I was right. She walked away weeping with the apple in her hand and fed my secrets to another man. So I slid away and flew away and out of the tree I ran. I who was once one, now forever three. A cat and a crow and a snake without a tree. Just a snake and a crow and a cat, and that was that.
The Billy Nayer Show, dear friends. Thank you, the Billy Nayer Show, and thank Reverend Magdalene and Reverend Nikki Deathchick for, and also Mein Cock, not the one on stage, but the one who's been at previous X Days with Bachelors for Bob, for turning us on to this amazing cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
Vise ya. Vise ya. 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 Now, are you a bunch of nayer-sayers?
Really want me to, I think I'll just lick it first.
time.
This,
movie
for example,
specter of
doesn't this look like the Overman head?
Yes, it does.
But it's Ragnar.
Ragnar's.
He shaved his hair, and he looks like the Overman in this picture.
Yeah, he does. I can't believe how much Ragnar looks like the Overman now.
Does
okay,
it?
If you say so.
Don't you think so?
No.
I do.
No, not at all.
Not at all. It looks more like the...
He looks like the hideous
Mr.
Overman.
Clean.
Not the perfect...
But it's Ragnar, so we're playing the Ragnar theme here.
Yeah, this is from Rockin' the Ragnar TV
show. Ragnar,
did you see the Ragnar
3
where he... goes through Azrakistan and
if you
the
go
war.
To Ragnar's house,
yeah,
you will become
he
one
beats
too.
Up
Chuck Norris.
Beats up Chuck Norris. That's right. I was just about to say that.
You
that's
can live in Ragnar's house.
Well, Ragnar opened for the Swingin' Love Corps.
I've got Ragnar.
Blew the audience away.
Those anti-music doctors know that it bothers us, and that's why they do it.
Yes,
but
indeed.
But there's nothing you can do but walk away from doctor music. And you're lucky if you can really get away from it.
Speed, Clint, and Barney go to the house of Bob. Warning, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Talk's cheap. Now listen, Bob.
Barney and Bob are below with the captain.
And that's where you come in, Bob. All right, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, he was all excited.
Bob's information must contain some clue.
Oh. Say, Bob. Bob, you're a magician.
Oh, have you checked our shortwave set yet, Bob?
Yes, working all right this morning.
I just wanted to get rid of Bob for a few minutes so we could talk.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It's the first chance we've had to discuss the idea of swearing Bob in as a member of the secret police. Send me all possible details concerning Bob. Bob may be of more service to us up here on the river than in Hong Kong.
All right, then let's go up to the house then and swear Bob into the secret police. Are you sure he's all right, Clint?
Huh? Why, of course he's all right.
Bob, where are you?
Let that go, Bob. We got something more important for you.
Yeah? We'll keep in touch with you, Bob, because you're going to join our organization. Do you, Bob, as a member of the International Secret Police, promise to obey and protect law and order?
We got into trouble already, Bob.
You'll have to be extra careful, Bob.
Don't worry about me. This is the sort of thing I like.
Oh, say, Bob.
Yes.
Oh, say, Bob.
Yes.
We'll have plenty to do, Bob. Hey.
Oh, say, Bob.
Yes.
Hey.
Bob's information must contain some clue.
The house of Bob. Say, Bob. The house of Bob. Say, Bob. The house of Bob. Bob, you're a magician.
Speed, Clint, and Barney go to the house of Bob.
Bob! Bob!
The house of Bob.
Incidentally, the Brushwood staff, we've learned, calls us the Bobs.
The Bobs.
Just as a sort of shorthand. It's a subgenius is kind of, that's a lot of syllables. And they'll say, oh, yeah, the Bobs are coming next weekend.
There goes
we'll
the
have to
Bobs.
Make them their big icon. The fire crew of Brushwood has been a big part of X-Day every year because they really know their stuff. They keep us from hurting ourselves. The pagans, you see, know a great secret that many subgeniuses have not learned, the secret of fire. They know how to make them.
But tonight we will see the leaping and dancing flames.
At the sound of the bell, place your hands as follows. Right thumb, left thumb. Right thumb, four fingers thumb. Strike the right thumb. You never use your right thumb of each hand to strike the bell. Now, your hand is ended. Return. You will hear instructions to strike your left thumb.
That last cut that was by Reverend Brainerd. All right, here's another question. I've heard that hippopotamuses kill more humans than any other African animals. Are there other lesser-known animals that kill more humans than hippos? I think the word do has been left out a couple of times.
The word do?
Well, I've heard that hippopotamuses kill more humans.
More human than any other African animals. Are there other lesser known animals that kill more humans than hippos? Well, of course, they tell you all sorts of stories in the African bush. I don't know how much credence you want to give to tales of Bunyips and Mekele Mbembes and so on. But hippos are dangerous because they are territorial, and they are likely to slash you with their tusks if you come too close while you're paddling in the pool. Also, large crocodiles are often far too aggressive and desire to make too intimate an acquaintance. After you get out of the water, the most dangerous animal is potentially, I'm told, the Cape buffalo. Well, you wouldn't think something that looked so much like a cow would be with all those lions and things around, but according to every account I've read, of course, I've never been there, this is just stuff I've read, the Cape buffalo will wheel and gore you and trample you and trample the remains and then gore the remains and then trample the remains and...
Turned on now.
Yeah, well, that's why it was such a big trophy in the old days of the stuffed heads in the Trunk and Tusk Club downtown. They'd always have a wildebeest right in the middle. Also, the hairstyle of the wildebeest was worn by people of the period like Andrew Carnegie and John L. Lewis and so forth. Well, what of the lowly mosquito? It makes you wonder why Noah put him on the ark. But the lowly mosquito, of course, has laid us low at various times, and it's always possible that one can suddenly encounter a mutagen in the mosquito's saliva responsible for a disease as deadly as was in its time malaria. And remember, folks, they can stymie malaria, but they can't really stop it. Once you get it, you may be in for shivery episodes for the rest of your life. I said over and over and over again. I said over and over and over again.
I said over and over and over again. Oh. Oh. Huh? Funny you should ask that. I've become a real expert on that. You know, same motion over and over again. Rock, you know, humankind has been chopping rocks for a million years.
That's what they used to call
guys
it.
Have been chopping rocks to get laid and paid. The ones who couldn't shoot very well could maybe chop rocks better than
someone
else. We used
to nap
the
flints.
Ones who couldn't even chop rocks. Those were the ones who invented religions.
You nap flints. You have to be a good flint napper.
My theory is that that flint napping went on for so long that it became a kind of an instinct, and that explains obsessive compulsive disorder. That's what the conspiracy calls neatness nowadays. That's the mental illness they label wanting to have your stuff in order. And
getting your ducks in a row.
Being an emergentile like I am, that's a disease.
A propensity for order.
Yeah. But personally, I think that art, music certainly, especially drumming, and jobs are all results of the obsessive compulsive disorder of flint napping and stone hand axe making. So they didn't have stone hand axe stores. They didn't even have stone hand axe bags. When one wore out, they just made another one. And that's hundreds of thousands of years of that same thing going on. We can't stop. That's the human part, of course. The Yetis didn't need tools. They did not need clothing and could practically materialize what they needed out of the air. Which they didn't need much, luckily.
Well, the Sharper Image, I believe, has one
that
you can
right.
get. It's a very primitive looking with a branch for a handle. But, of course, that doesn't come anywhere near the satisfaction of going out and napping your own flint and hardening a fire-hardened axe handle, bind it with the tendons of... some ruminant that you killed after a protracted and bloody struggle, and you'll feel that you're a king in your own kingdom, particularly when they come to get you.
And I would like to ask,
that this is not a perpetual motion machine that violates the laws of thermodynamics. Energy is coming into it from the outside, the magnetic energy which permeates the cosmos. He who controls magnetism,
gravity,
controls the universe.
Well, that's what the stuff gum like to imagine.
Not just magnetism, but gravity.
Distance beacons, forward, forward.
And not only that,
let the great
world they're signaling from the other side.
The unified fields. We've taken all the previously unknown theories and managed to put them all together in one massive,
too afraid of the unknown,
Frankenstein theory of
the Frankenstein culture bolsher blood memory cabinet on the dark side of the moon.
In the energy spectrum,
where strange surgeons cut out your spine and send it to
and weave it together in a way to
delicious
produce the beautiful fabric that we
it
know
comes
as
back to the doctors, folks.
The face
in the old
of Dobbs. In the smiling face of Dobbs, you'll find the face of a small child, the hideous grin of an ancient crone, and yet there is that magnanimous
Bob
smile.
And you might hear
gripped
the stridulation
in its face
of an enormous cricket.
Is the pipe that never leaves.
Bob.
Have you ever seen Bob not smoking his pipe? No, because you can't. It would be the end of the universe if you did.
I thought that happened
you
already.
You know
last
the pipe
Wednesday
is smoking right now.
Monday.
It's proof of the existence of us and Bob. Because we're still here. We're still here. We wouldn't be here if he hadn't already be clenching the pipe and that mighty smoke pleasing the nostrils of Jehovah.
I also didn't ask Dr. Hell.
As it is.
Here.
Pleasing the gods as they breathe deep the smoke from Bob's pipe.
Before we wrap up, you know, Angry Larry had a pretty good marriage ceremony, didn't he? How many
it
couples?
It was very romantic. There looked like, I think there were like 10 couples getting married.
Yeah, and then he had a private ceremony with me and Christy, so that was kind of cool, too. And,
I noticed that young Popess Pantiera married her little vibrator, and she gave it a gentle kiss at the end of the ceremony. It's really sweet.
It's enough to make the heart warm.
She doesn't need a boyfriend anymore.
Right.
She's smart
got her
girl.
She's got her Bob. Yeah. Oh, you really liked my wife, didn't you, Stang? She was pretty, wasn't she?
Yeah, your temporary wife there, your ex.
Yeah.
Christine, yeah, she was gorgeous. Excellent hula hooper, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, those hula hoops look great.
Looks aren't everything, though.
On them.
Money is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And in that respect, Ragnar is a god among subgeniuses.
Oh, yeah.
If looks were everything, Ragnar would...
I'd be
a pretty low-level god.
All right, guys. Well, it's time to wrap this up. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
All righty. Yay.
This has been Synesthesia, of course. And, you know, what the heck?
Test. Okay.
You want the key?
Come on, y'all, you like blood is dry. You selfish fucks.
Hi, this is Jim Backus with a special announcement about an exciting Lazy Boy chair sale taking place at your Lazy Boy dealers now. Lazy Boy reclining chairs of your choice are available at unheard of savings for a limited time only. Treat yourself and your family to a lifetime of comfort and beauty. Once you do, you'll wonder how you ever relax without one. Get America's comfort favorite, a Lazy Boy chair now. See your Lazy Boy dealer today. Hey, run in there. He'll be glad to see you. Yes, he will.
Oh, yeah.